Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Wow. Grab whatever beverage of choice you choose to consume when you are going through the difficult moments, because you're going to need it. We're all going to need it tonight. Roma. I can't even bring myself to say what the score. It says 2-2 on the scoreboard. You would be mistaken, you know, if you had went into a coma at minute 80, just from the excitement. You get overjoyed, and then I understandably, like, you grasp your chest and your heart gives out because you're like, oh my gosh, they're going to extra time. Maybe we go to penalties. Maybe we can see what happened. And then you wake up and you're like, hold on, wait. Oh, they 2-2. Oh, Roma, they draw 2-2 against Bayer Leverkusen and they lose on aggregate 4-2. They will not be going to a third consecutive European final. Before, I mean, I joke about therapy, but this is truly one where I like, Andy, you and I write about Roma every single day. We go on other podcasts, we go on other television shows, other radios that talk about Roma every single day. I thought the level of depravity could never reach beyond the things that we have been exposed to. I thought, okay, we've seen a lot, we've been subjected to a lot. Thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Logan Smith. You picked a perfect time, Logan, to join the depravity we have been, to join the group of depraved individuals who enjoy being subjected to this level of depravity. If you would like to join Logan Smith and all of our other wonderful patrons, you can go to patreon.com/RomaPress, get early access to episodes, and also watch the video version on YouTube at @ISRomaPress. Like, subscribe, all that stuff down there. Because we absolutely need it on evenings like tonight. I said it in my post-match podcast, Andy. This is one of those matches. Very rarely do I not at least have some balance within my overriding thoughts immediately in a game. Because the tennis, you know, like this back and forth of emotions just within those last 10 minutes were so strong, so visceral. I feel like what I said in the previous episode, I feel like I just want to numb or something. Like, I have seen war, I have seen things. When you see like those older war veterans, and you could just tell in their eyes that they have seen things. Well, we haven't, certainly we have seen some things, not as horrific as the real life stuff as war, obviously. But just in terms of sport, I am hard pressed to think of a more depraved sequence of events that a group of supporters, as particular as IS Roma supporters, should be subjected to, because we have been subjected to things that the Geneva Convention, in my opinion, should have outlawed long ago. Where do you want to start? Because on one hand, I expected zero from tonight. In fact, I was very adamant in the previous episode that I did not agree with the approach of Daniele De Rossi in the match against Juve in order to put all focus and effort towards tonight. And for about 82 minutes, I had my hand in my mouth, because that was immense. That was out of this world. That was spectacular, what they did for 81 minutes. So I want to take the good part and say, wow. That's all you can say for 80 minutes was wow, because nobody expected that. Even if you thought there was a chance, I'm sure Daniele De Rossi would even... I haven't brought myself to turn the television on to watch him on DAZN. I mean, I would have to imagine, or Sky Sport, I would have to imagine that even he would have to have been surprised by those first 80 minutes, yeah? come on, come on.
No, I think he knew more or less what the team was willing to give in this match. And I think if there is one thing that I'm gonna take away from tonight, as hurtful as it is, to see Roma go out this way after leading in a situation where we didn't expect them to lead, I honestly did not see them go beyond one goal, and instead they kept pushing all the way up until the end, where Mancini's own goal forces Roma to sort of stretch beyond what they were willing to do, and at that moment in time they just didn't have the capacity to handle that much pressure from Bayer, and Bayer are Bayer. But what will stay with me is this image of a team that went out in a blaze of glory. My favorite childhood movie was always The Magnificent Seven. It's a movie I come back to time and time again. And I love that movie particularly because there is this great sense of sacrifice. You have seven cowboys who are going up against about 40 bandits led by Eli Wallach, and out of these seven guys, only three remain alive. And this the whole movie is about this incredible effort against all odds. Roma were not victorious, did not emerge as victorious as the Magnificent Seven did. But what stays with me is the fact that I saw a lot of people in our patron group chat who had given up right before the match started, who were questioning and complaining and saying, you know, forget about this, forget about tonight, forget about that. This is why are we playing this? This is horrible to be in a situation like this.
2 minutes before kickoff, if I was on an American radio station, I said, yeah, there is absolutely no chance. I'm not going to win tonight.
Yeah, there is absolutely no chance. And yet we find ourselves for 80 minutes cheering this team on, already smelling a potential Europa League final, the second consecutive one, and it doesn't happen. Okay, but as always, we've done this. I had to come on here a year ago when we lost in Budapest, and I had to remind everybody, don't take these moments for granted. Don't just focus on the outcome, because you've had the privilege of watching this team not only fight for a European trophy, but that fight for a European final, fight for a European semifinal. I mean, those are things that Roma, up until very recently, were not accustomed to. And we have been granted this wish. We have seen this Roma put in incredible performances. And despite the way this loss came about tonight, despite Miles VR's mistake, despite Mancini's own goal, arguably two of our most important players this season. So it stings even more because of how important they were to Roma's success in recent months.
Yes.
Beyond that, I take away a Roma that gave me a hell of a roller coaster of a ride of emotions. And I think that for me, this is what stays. The effort stays.
Yes.
The sacrifice stays. The level of commitment to presumably a cause that was, you know, impossible, which is to beat Bayer Leverkusen in their home, a team that remains unbeaten and has the most impressive unbeaten record in all of football history. That's
and
the
only
team
preserved it at the very end, by the way. That's what burns.
But that's what they do. That's what they've been doing. That's why they're unbeaten. That's what they've been doing. But that's the team it took to eliminate you. That's the team it took to stop this Roma team that has been in this situation for three consecutive years. It's been in this situation in a European semifinal, and it took the most impressive unbeaten team in all of football history to stop you. That in of itself, undermanned without Paulo Dybala, you went up against a team that just has done it all and will continue to do it all this year up until the very end. You were in a position that a few people would have said, they can do it. You exceeded, I think, most people's expectations, and I cannot help but tip my hat to them.
I have to laugh. I just got bummed. I was supposed to go on this on the radio and in Verona, and I just got the bump by the program director because they want to have a journalist from Bergamo talk about Atalanta. So I don't know the juxtaposition of that on top of the result of tonight of Roma. Just the thought of Gian Piero Gasperini in a European final.
I was about to say that if there is something that stings my ass, it's that not even our loss, it's Giampiero Gasperini potentially. I'm not even going to say it, but potentially.
Well, you want to talk about the anti-hero. We might have, depending on what happens Sunday, you and me may need to get tattoos of Giampiero Gasperini onto us. Because if certain things happen, you and I will find ourselves in the, is it unenviable? That's not a word. Inenviable? Unenviable? Whatever. Whatever. Inenviable, unenviable position.
No, of course, we would have to emigrate to like Venezuela or Guatemala.
Hold on. Do you understand? You said in the previous episode, this season has for all intents and purposes, and we say this towards the end of every single season, but this one, I actually mean it. This has been the longest fucking season, man. I think since you and I have done this. I mean, at least with Paulo Fonseca, those first 2 years, we at least sort of had that glimmer of hope of the club being sold, Palota on the way out. So at least we had this very... A large distraction to sort of get us through the, oh, wow, another defeat to Sassuolo. Okay, well, at least we're getting a new president, okay? There were things to sort of get you through that. This has been the most arduous, the most taxing season that I think you and I have done this. It is only right that it ends, or at least comes to an end near the end, with you and I having to find ourselves sitting and watching a team managed by Giampiero Gasperini, a team that calls its home Bergamo, a place that I believe I have called on here the scourge of the earth, that I would only, if I had my choice behind the Napoli, I would take the asteroid. Okay. That's hold on. What? Hold on. I can't remember it now. What's the movie?
Oh,
from like 1996, 1997 with Bruce Willis, the asteroid, what's it called?
Armageddon.
Armageddon, yes.
1999.
Okay. Well, anyway, I would take that thing, okay? I would take that asteroid, and if I can't aim it at Napoli, I'm going to aim it at Bergamo, and I have said this on here many times. I make no bones about it. Anybody who has been there, and I say this as somebody from fucking Vicenza, I am in no position to speak. So if I say your place is dreary and sucks, it must really suck, okay? I would take the asteroid and I would aim it right at Bergamo. So the fact that this season would come near an end where we find ourselves in a position to potentially support Giampiero Gasperini, who manages a team from Bergamo. It's only right. It is only right. Just the thought, it makes me ill. I have a physical reaction when I think about that. But we can get to that. We could cross that bridge when we get to it, because the mental and testicular fortitude I will have to work up for that to be in a place where I appear somewhat sane on here, it's going to take some time. So from this, I have to tell you, I am still, as we record right now, I am having a lot of trouble processing it, because for 80 minutes, you were right there. Even though it was not nearly as noticeable as last year, Roma, the onslaught, I think Bayer Leverkusen, I'll put the data on the screen now, but I think they ended with over 30 shots, okay? Which is about similar to what it was last season. You withstood it again. You withstood it again against a better Bayer Leverkusen, in fact. And man, for 80 minutes, you were right there. You were right there. And I have to tell you, we could see the known goal. The fact that Svilar had even the slightest role to play in that own goal, my heart tore in that exact moment for him, because the individual performance that he put in tonight, and this may be recency bias, it probably is. As far as individual performances go, okay, that is...
Are you going to mention the Alisson game against Atletico?
Against Listen, when we talk about goalkeeper performances, the top tier, there is one. There is one tier by which best, it's the Atletico Madrid at the Olympico. And I believe that was a 0-0 draw, yes, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. That is the singular best performance I've seen in my entire life from a goalkeeper, okay? That was top five tonight from Svilar. Top five. Again, that may seem like recency bias, but man, this one will be lost to sort of the history, the history books, because of obviously Roma. They go out, Bayer Leverkusen advance.
Yeah, empty handed, of course.
As they say, winners write the history. That's fine. What he did tonight was so immense, so stratospheric. Like I can't even find the words, because man, Andy, he singularly saved Roma on 3 to 4 very clear cut occasions.
Absolutely,
he was so superb. I can't even find the words, because we lauded him in the previous episode. I just don't want to just let this sort of pass by, because it's not as if Roma did something where, you know, Paulo Lopez is struggling, so they go to Antonio Mirante and he does pretty well and he steadies the ship. I want to be clear. Roma have, this is like unearthing gold. What you have now in Svilar, this is, you have won the raffle. You won the lottery.
It's your golden ticket. Absolutely.
I mean, this is, I know it sucks to even think about this or even having to talk about it, but I'm trying to come away from tonight sane and positive and balanced. Andy, what did we say? I think I said top five in Serie A. I mean, holy shit, man. I mean, he might be top 10 in all of Europe now. And I'm not just saying that because, but seriously,
I can see what
in Serie A, okay, top two, top three, whatever, okay. But in Europe, I mean, this kid, man,
that's why I say it's things that this loss was, you know, it came about because of his mistake and Mancini's mistake, because Svilar is the guy who allows you to be here in the first place, because he saves you in the penalties against Feyenoord. He's the one who gets the fire going. And Mancini is the one who gets you to overcome Milan. So
against Milan, yes.
So we are talking about two absolute heroes tonight that unfortunately crumble in those final 10 minutes. And it's just... And it only happens because, yes, you're facing just a really, really good opponent, you know. Against anybody else, you make the similar mistakes you made tonight, perhaps you still get off easy. But against Bayer, you just could not do it. And Roma knew it. They had to be perfect. I just don't think that this team had it in them to get those 90 minutes all completed. With Dybala's limited contribution, Spinazzola going off injured, you know, Paredes.
You knew that was good.
Paredes, who?
Hold on. Go ahead. I'll wait for Spinazzola, because you knew that was going to happen after we wrote about him having a good performance over the past month. That we talked about new contract for him, and that you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, it was going to happen. It was going to happen as soon as you say that Spinazzola could be an important player for Roma. Boom, off he goes into the dumper. No, for I only also wanted to say that Leandro Paredes, I know that but to see him celebrate like that, it got me pretty hyped
oh,
up.
Oh yes. You
know? It got me pretty hyped up. I cannot hide this because I know how, you know, we've had our fair share of takes about him in the past, and since Daniele De Rossi's been in, he is right now. He's playing like the guy who won the World Cup. You know, he's playing like the guy who knows something about leading the team. If there was ever a time where I would have, if you had asked me, can you envision this guy being a leader? I would have said no time and time again. And yet here we are. Paredes is a leader. He ends this season by being a leader. He ends this season by actually... Okay, you know, De Rossi is always going to be De Rossi, but by actually paying homage to the number that he's wearing. Because when he first came in, everybody thought it was a joke. I mean, everybody, when he put on that 16 shirt, everybody was like, are you kidding us?
People were comparing it to Gerson. Remember that infamous photo of him holding the number 10 where somebody did him a disservice with the shadows in that photo? Yes. You can barely see the guy. I mean, people were comparing it to that. If we want to go back to last summer. Now, so I
that's
can't
what
say
I'm
here,
saying. But, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's Paredes took that image of people sort of still... You know, remembering him as that kid who would come in and occasionally replace Daniele De Rossi in a match of no importance against Pescara. We are about three.
Mentioned Pescara.
Three Pescara because it was the worst team in Serie A history by points. That kid now is the guy who scores two decisive penalties when the pressure is on, puts his team in a position to potentially go to penalties and potentially fight for a Europa League final. I mean, this is an unexpected turnaround. So in all of this negativity from tonight, which I know people will focus on because exactly we have this incredibly important match against Atalanta just a few days away, an Atalanta side that are riding on an emotional high because right now they find themselves in a position that they've never dreamed of being. You know, think about the mentality of these two teams going into this decisive match for the Champions League. Great. Roma just got eliminated by Bayer Leverkusen after nearly getting it over the line. Atalanta beating Marseille 3-0, securing a place in their first ever European final. I mean,
unbelievable.
The clash of the two teams will make for a neutral fan a very entertaining Sunday. For a Roma fan, in my opinion, this I mean, if I would advise people to take something for the runs, because you are gonna remove sharp objects, redecorate the bathroom, try to, you know, like if you have a garden, think about going, you know, to your number two in the garden, because you're not gonna be able your toilet is not going to be able to sustain the pressure it will face on Sunday. That's the kind of match that we're in for. Just because of the mental side that goes into this game, just because of how these two teams will meet the moment. For Roma, in my opinion, it's very intriguing because you could argue that, on one hand, you'll have a team that will be deflated because tonight it hurts like hell. You are this close to delivering the first home loss to the only unbeaten side in Europe, and just minor mistakes in the final 8 to 9 minutes changed everything. On the other hand, there is a sense of pride. There has to be a sense of pride after a performance like tonight. And so I want to be hopeful. I know that there is going to be, again, a lot of people who will be unable to see the glass half full in this case just because of the circumstances and the implication of Sunday's game. If you get it wrong, you're out. You're
yeah,
done.
You're fucked.
You're done.
Yes.
You're done. It's done. The season is over, and the remaining games, it's done.
Well, so you think they don't even make it to six, you think, if they lose?
And then we find
ourselves in the position.
Immensely
for Giampiero Gasparini.
Oh God,
I don't know what would be worse.
I just want to see Evan Dika do something on Sunday. Gasparini notoriously downplayed the health scare. He justified the Atalanta Fiorentina being postponed as an example of something that happens when something serious has happened, unlike a code yellow, which clearly are referring to Roma's postponement of the Udinese match. And if there are footballing gods, I don't know. I mean, can someone up there listen to us? Because really,
I'm struck by lightning before the final. If there are football that. Listen, I wouldn't hope that for him, but it wouldn't be that big of a deal. It would only be a code yellow. People get struck by lightning before. It is so funny. It just hit me when you mentioned Pescara. It hit me all of a sudden, and I had to laugh. I need to find some levity from this tonight. You know that they're managed by Zeman, right? Like, he made his 50th comeback. I don't know why. For some reason,
He backed away.
Well, right. He had the health.
He backed away after the surgery.
Scare.
Yeah.
Yes, he had his own health scare some few months ago. I don't know why this is anything even remotely connected to tonight, but it reminded me they have a certain player on loan from Lazio this season with the surname of Mussolini. Mussolini. People have to know that his great-grandson plays for Lazio by now. And that his mother, who is a former politician, I think everybody, even remotely connected to Roma, has been blocked by her on Twitter. But anyway, I'm trying to find some levity in this tonight. I can't even bring myself to talk about this Atalanta thing because you are right. We can't back out on it now because Roma didn't go through today. We said it in the last episode. Your season is these two games. Oh my God! It's only right. One of my children. I said I'm not overtly religious. My wife is. It just hit me. One of my children is making their first communion at the weekend on the day of Atalanta. This is the footballing gods. It's only right that something is going to happen. So if I'm not here after Sunday, it's a confluence of events all coming into one because you couldn't make this stuff up. You could not make this up. In my sickest twisted fantasy, this is real life because in fiction, nobody could think of this. This thing with Atalanta, the circumstances tonight regarding Roma. Before we move on to Atalanta, you just said you want to stay positive and draw the positives from this. I can understand people being upset. Man, I tweeted out something just, how cruel the footballing gods are, for Svilar to have that own goal to play a part in it. Just the depravity of the footballing gods, just when you think it's gotten bad, or at its worst, it can go to a whole new level of horrible. People are there's a couple of people replying to that saying, "Oh, what is De Rossi doing?" Some guy says, "What's De Rossi doing keeping so many tired players on the pitch? Cristante needed to have been subbed off after the first half. This is the third match in a row to play visibly tired players all or nearly all 90 minutes. Who do you want on? Who do you want on? Who do you want to see?" I can understand if you have problems with the manager tactically, what decision making, fine. Who in the world is he going to put on in place of Brian Cristante? Who? Bove? If we're you can have 50, 100 issues with things regarding Roma and this tie with Bayer Leverkusen. I have to tell you, after they scored that first goal, you know, my mind went to Tammy Abraham. What the hell, man? He would have buried that goal. We're talking about an entirely new tie. Even if you lose in the first leg, if you just buried that chance at the very end, we're still bitter over losing the first leg at home.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that's the thing. It's how it works. That's how we said. We said after
why?
After that first leg, if we had even scored one goal, even in defeat, it would have looked different. It would have felt different. It just wasn't meant to be. It just wasn't meant to be. Mm. And it's something we have to accept. But that's what I say, even exactly to people who experience such frustrations. You have to look back on Roma's history in these competitions. You have to. This is the fifth time that it happens for Roma to be in a semifinal of this kind. Okay, it's the third consecutive time they've been. This is an honor. This is to witness your team on this stage. It's like that, you know. I want to take the people that cannot even find a glimmer of satisfaction in this kind of performance and hold their hand, because they need to be loved. They need to get hugged. They need to have some genuine display of emotions, because if you cannot take something encouraging from a performance of this kind, where your team fought like hell in a position where you yourself, up until a couple of hours ago, were saying out loud, oh, I don't believe what we're doing. Why are we doing this? Why are we even playing with our strongest lineup? And then an hour later, you are already thinking, oh, my God, perhaps it's still possible. After all, this is, we can do this. So
9 minutes. You were nine
minutes away. And it's painful, yes, but focus on what went right. What went right was the path. I mean, Roma, I mean, this year especially, with everything that happened with Mourinho in January, remember our stance on the Europa League. Daniele De Rossi comes in. He has one match to prepare for, or two games to prepare for the game against Feyenoord. And what we think about that first? We thought, well, these are playoff games. Forget it. You know, it'd be cool to defeat Feyenoord. But, I mean, after all, what does this team have to offer? And then this team went on a run. And it impressed everybody, and it went against Feyenoord, and it beat them on penalties, and then went against Brighton. Everybody expected Brighton to play lights out against us. They didn't. And then we had Milan, and everybody said, well, Milan are far better. They have a stronger roster. I mean, forget about it. In San Siro, we haven't won there in ages. What do Roma do? They go out there and they dominate, and they show Milan how it's done, and they surprise them, and they limit Stefano Pioli's team. And against Bayer, you go out in a blaze of glory. You go out like the Magnificent Seven. That's all I want. That's all I take away from this, especially ahead of Sunday. I just wanted a team that had fight in them. Roma had fight despite all the circumstances. They had hell of a lot of fight in them.
Yeah, I say this every time the guy plays even a remotely extended period of time on the pitch, and I'm not going to get into the same rant that I do. I know you know who I'm going to talk about. Azmoun, man, he didn't score a goal. Beyond Svilar, and Paredes, I mean, I wanted to cry watching him today. You really have to focus in sometimes on just some of the little things he does, man. The way he goes to ground as a forward, sliding in, making challenges, going into duels. I know this probably goes against popular opinion because people are just going to look at his goal output. If I have to start a GoFundMe, whatever I need, I will do it to get him to stay, because just the grit, the heart, he's one of those guys that he may score. He probably won't score. He might score, but probably not. But I can guarantee you, which I can't say for many others, many of the guys in the team of Roma, I'm going to get 110% of him every single time. Every single minute he is on the pitch, he's going to give you 110%. And I know that sounds like something you would say to an unders 7 team or something. Hey, guys, go out there, play your best, do it, you know. But I just, the difference he can make. And again, I don't even think, how many shots did he have? Maybe one or two? Even that may be too generous.
He's the classic workhorse. You know, he's the classic workhorse, yes, who, unlike someone like Andrea Belotti, makes his presence felt more often than not, even when exactly he's not on the score sheet. I think Daniele De Rossi accurately described him as a midfielder with the number 9 on his shirt. Mm. And that's more, yes, or less what I see in him. And that's more or less the kind of spirit and the kind of performance that you have to expect Roma to give in these last 3 games. There's just, that's the kind of application you need from everybody. And unfortunately, it has to spread to others too. You cannot just, you know, because Spinazzola is out, you have to depend on a Nicola Zaleski who's still lost. No, Nicola Zaleski has to be ready. And it's that thing that has to be a factor on Sunday. Everybody, those who are available, they have to play not at 100, they have to play at 1,000%, because Atalanta will surely do that. Atalanta, despite being in the European final, they will not lose focus on Sunday. Rest assured.
Yeah.
Rest assured, because they always know how to approach these games. The question is, will Roma know how to approach this game after tonight's disappointment?
Yeah, I mean, they are going to be tired. They're going to be drained, as are Roma. But man, they are going to be riding so immensely high. The euphoria that is going to carry them into this match. And that, for me, you can't quantify something like that. That is not something that you can prepare for. You cannot prepare, because just think, this is the other thing that burns me to the supporters of Atalanta. That's probably why I've been so jaded by Bergamo. I mean, just think of that. Man, that place is going to be, maybe even literally, I was going to say on fire. I'll try to withhold any comments in regards to that. But I mean, the test of character that this is going to be, No,
it's going to be a test of character for us. Forget about the players for us.
Oh, yeah.
But I take strength in the fact it's going to be the last time we play this late. I will not have to be here at midnight having nightmares about yet another Roma performance. The last time we recorded this episode, I couldn't sleep the rest of the night. I went to sleep.
You were
like
trying to work in your own Bergamo comment.
No, absolutely. No. That's the tourist section is your section. I have no comments on that. I can only say I am actually, for the first time in a long while, looking forward to the transfer market, because I want to have a peaceful night of sleep. I want to not think about the game. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. You know, I'm like Eric Bledsoe. Remember the NBA player who, when he was on the Suns, and he was like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in a position where I have to come on here right after the match and try to make sense of something that will never make sense, because exactly, just look at the Patreon group chat and you'll have 72,000 opinions about the same game and none of them make sense. None of them are coherent, and that's exactly what Roma delivered to us. So hopefully Sunday will be an important display. Roma will give us something that makes sense, that we can actually package and talk about and discuss the implications of it for the summer. But honestly, 3 games remaining. Just give me the next. Please, let's move on. Let's go to, I don't know, to Hawaii. Let's do something that has nothing to do with Roma, because I'm fed up. I'm fed up, I swear. I'm fed up. I'm quoting Don Rickles here, but I'm done.
Ciao.